Well, to North Dakota now, where farmers are trying to solve a side effect of the state's bountiful oil and gas production. Every year, hundreds of millions of barrels of salty wastewater, or brine, comes to the Earth's surface during the extraction process. And when that brine comes into contact with farmland, it can render it infertile for decades. North Dakota officials are trying to figure out how best to clean up those toxic spills. Prairie Public Broadcasting's Amy Sisk reports.
Way up in northern North Dakota is an old oil field, active since the 1950s.
Hey there, Clark?
Yeah, I'm Clark.
Nice to meet you. I'm Amy.
Nice to meet you.
I meet Clark Stevens on a gravel road near the small town of Glenburn. Just to the east of us, his wheat fields span for acres and acres. In the middle is a three-acre patch of barren soil.
We're always farming around areas like this, and every year they continue to grow.
Spread out around us are a handful of pump jacks. Some have been here decades, pulling oil to the Earth's surface. Back then, trucks took brine from nearby wells and dumped it into a pit dug into this field. Sites like these, known as legacy brine pits, were condemned in the 1980s, but they were never cleaned up. And over the years, the brine has seeped deeper into the soil, migrated, and expanded.
Because of the size of these pits and how big they've grown because of the salt contamination, we're talking possibly up to 5 acres or even more on some of these sites.
Cody Vanderbush is the reclamation supervisor for North Dakota's Department of Mineral Resources. He sees an opportunity in this toxic legacy to address ongoing problems with brine spills.
I think these ponds are the worst case scenario in North Dakota, that if we can figure out how to clean up these, we're going to learn a lot about how to clean up spills that have only been there, say, a week versus something that's been there for 50 years.
This spring, lawmakers, prodded by landowners, designated $5 million to research this issue. Ultimately, cleanup of these sites could cost hundreds of millions of dollars, with the bulk of that bill potentially falling to the state. And there are a lot of questions to answer. Number one, how many of these pits exist? The state thinks 120, but doesn't know for sure. Then, were farmers ever compensated? And what cleanup techniques will actually work? One of the people trying to figure this out is Kevin Sedovic. He's a rangeland specialist with the North Dakota State University Extension Service. He walks with me through the barren patch on Clark Stevens' farm.
If nothing, they're just an eyesore.
We stop in an area where it's so salty, not even weeds will grow.
So they've basically starved to death of water. And so a plant dies of dehydration.
Sedovic and I crouch down to touch the salt.
So you say this is just table salt here?
Yep. So did you just lick your finger?
That's really salty.
Mm-hmm.
But the salt isn't just sprinkled atop the ground. It has seeped down and is now at least a couple of feet deep, bound to soil particles. Sedovic is searching for a cheap solution to get this area productive once again. Not everything he's tried has worked. What's most promising, he says, is gypsum. It's a calcium-based powder that binds to the salt. A good rain draws the calcium and salt deeper into the soil, leaving enough room for the grass's roots to grow.
So here's the grass that's still actually surviving.
Two-thirds of the grasses in this trial are still alive.
We at least created a crop that we could either graze, or we could hay for hay production, or we can provide a wildlife habitat.
The soil is still too salty for crops like wheat, barley, or soybeans. Sedovic says he hopes to address that with more research. And if researchers can come up with better solutions, it will make a big difference for farmers like Clark Stevens.
Anything you can do to get the land productive again, I mean, you know, you want to leave it for the next generation better than you had it.
And finally, right a problem 60 years in the making. For Here and Now, I'm Amy Sisk.
And Amy's story comes to us from Inside Energy, a public media collaboration focused on America's energy issues.